comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And I hope you can hear the bounce in my step over the airwaves, because this is a show that I love to do. And I'd like to thank our sponsor and a great partner of Mrs. Green's World. In many ways, we partner, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. They are dedicated to creating a more compassionate and just world. And I say those words from my heart. And they do it by bringing together people to build homes, community, and hope. How can you top that for a little tagline? I mean, come on, people. Impactful, powerful, succinct, and you know what they do. And they envision a world where everyone has a decent place to live. And as I was preparing for the show today, I thought, what a vision. It doesn't everybody in our country, this land of plenty, deserve a decent place to live? So imagine that, and how could you not love it? And today we have T. Van Hook, the CEO for Habitat for Humanity Tucson, who is certainly no stranger to Mrs. Green's world or to our Down to Earth show, and who's leading the charge to make a lot of good things and transformative things happen in our community. Good is a good word, but transformation is a better one. So T, for the next 30 minutes, let's rock this and talk about building hope for the holidays. It's the holiday season. Tis the season.
It is the season, and thank you for having me. And we are transforming. We're transforming Tucson, the Southwest, and together with our brother and sister affiliates across the country and across the world, we're transforming poverty into a world of plenty. And I really believe that.
I really believe that too. And when you talk about everybody gets a sweet spot, everybody, I mean, even Scrooge, Scrooge fell, right, about the holidays. But in the big picture, what does it mean to for a child? Let's start with that, and we'll talk about all the things that you do. But for a child to celebrate Christmas, and it's mostly Christmas. It could be Hanukkah. We know that. We are all religions, all beliefs, all faiths. But pretty much Christmas, let's face it, it's okay. It's Christmas. I'm not going to apologize for that. How does it feel to have kids celebrate in their own home, not being transient, not moving to the next apartment? How does that feel? How's that a measure of success?
Well, you know, one of my first days as CEO at Habitat, we had a family come in, and they'd been paying their mortgage on an auto pay, and they came in to get a check back from us because they continued to pay even though they'd paid off their mortgage. They'd not realized they'd overpaid. And when they came in, they brought an album with them and their adult children. And it was so exciting watching the mother of the home, Mrs. Lopez, show me pictures. And it was all different holidays. So it was Easter and birthdays and all kinds of the end of a basketball season where in eighth grade they had won a championship. And looking through her album and the memories of parties in the house and graduations and things, every one of those were remarkable. And they were in a home. And one of her sons, Samuel, who was about 6'4", and he had this long, beautiful black ponytail down the back, and he's a nurse now at a local hospital. And he was saying that their memories are now in that home, and his two nieces' memories with their grandparents are in that home. And it's great that you asked that question, because what he said to me was, before they had the home, when he was six years old when they moved into it, he doesn't remember holidays because they were in a different place each time, and now their memories are anchored to that place. And it's one of the things he was looking forward to with his children and grandchildren, was to have those memories anchored in one place. And it's something we hear again and again and again by Habitat homeowners. It's home.
And home is those memories.
Like, we all get it. So if I had the technology, and if you and I had, you know, we don't ever have to script anything, because you and I could go on a marathon of conversation, but I would just pipe in with, there's no place like home for the holidays. Because even when I was preparing with my questions, there is no place like home for the holidays. And that's the truth. That's what our culture is based on. So I'm curious about, since my background is in social services and working with at-risk children and families, I know from research how important a stable environment is. What have you seen in terms of impacts it has on kids when they do have a place to call home and they're not moving every 3 to 6 months and chasing, you know, being chased by landlords and all of those things that go along with poverty? So what type of impacts does it have on kids? Is there a ripple effect besides great memories for holidays?
Well, statistically, we know what happens. But anecdotally, we see huge changes. We see changes in the way the children live. We see changes in their study habits. And we see changes in what they see as possible. And I always like to say, in a habitat family, we see changes for two reasons. One, it's the stability. But two, their parents come on to the slab, come on to a piece of concrete in the ground, work side by side with people from all walks of life. And normally when you're going place to place and you come from a place of poverty, you're surrounded by impoverished people. When you're working low-end, low-wage jobs, in our society, you're virtually invisible. But when you put on that green future home buyer shirt.
Yes.
And that's how we identify people at the workplace.
Transformative.
It is transformative. You may be working next to a physician. You may be working next to a bus driver. You may be working next to the president of a corporation. It could be an investment banker. It could
be someone from the media, like Mrs. Green, or someone from Chapman.
It could be anyone. And you strike up a conversation. It's the type of networking. They always say it's not what you know, who you know. It expands your horizons by working alongside people with a different point of view. So I believe the sweat equity that our home buyers put in is far more valuable than the dollar amount they're earning towards their down payment. It's creating a social network. It's creating a new frame of reference. And it's the gift that continues to give for generations. It expands the horizons of the people we work with. And since we're talking about the season of giving, how much stuff do we all have?
Oh, don't get me started. We're doing this whole intentional giving campaign with Mrs. Green's World. $1 trillion is what is projected to be spent this holiday season. And we are trying to combat that and give people other choices every way we can.
And what an amazing choice.
$1 trillion.
To give a portion of a dream to someone. A box of nails, a portion of a roof. There are a million things you can give by giving to Habitat, but pick the cause that's important to you. Pick the thing that is most important to you and give to that organization. We'd love to have it at Habitat. We'd love to have you give stability to a family to help really break that cycle of poverty. It's so critical, and there are so many ways that you can do it.
I'm writing that down because, you know, we live in a world of tweets. Give a portion of a dream. That's a great mindset to have. So when it comes to holiday giving, I'm sure you see a spike. You have many loyal donors. People are in the giving mode. Before we talk about the programs that you do, and we have to get to the Habit Store because part of our intentional giving campaign is about regifting. It's about resale. It's about going to places like Goodwill and Habitat for Humanity's Habit Store to think outside the box. And what we're saying to people, and I can say it on the air, is try to think Amazon as your last resort, not your first easiest. So make it a little inconvenient by going out and putting a little bit more intentional meaning into it. So what kind of blessing did you get? You did get a blessing of a matching donor, which means people's dollars will go more. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We have a very gracious donor, and this is their third year putting up a dollar amount. And for every dollar you give, they will match. And so that's extraordinary for us. If we get up to $150,000, they're going to match that. If we
That's a big match. It's not like 20 grand. Wow.
No. And so,
wow.
So your $2 becomes $4. Your $100 becomes $200. And if you take that and match that with the Arizona tax credit, if you're an Arizona resident, it's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. You're really winning because you get the tax credit. That's a direct tax payment, essentially, to a local organization that you believe in, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. You've got to make that local. It cannot go to the national affiliate. It has to stay local. It has to be Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And then, so you get the direct tax credit. We get not only your donation, that's $400 for an individual or $800 for a married couple filing jointly, but this anonymous donor is going to match that. That's $1,600. A family is going to get their dream. Now, it's like all of us. They're working hard for their American dream. They're working hard for a home. They're working hard for stability. It's self-reliance.
And you don't just give them the keys. When you say they're working hard, they have jobs, and they have to work with sweat equity and take classes. There's an investment of themselves and their blood, sweat, and tears in the home.
And they're forming community, and they're excited about it. I would invite and everyone that's listening to come down and participate. The second you walk onto that slab, you feel the energy. You were out building with us on Sunday, Mrs. Green. You understand. It's I always say it's the most exhausting, sore body fun you'll ever have.
It's really. And you know what? Watching everybody from the Chapman Community Green team, it makes you feel really good. And it wasn't like stand around and sweep. I mean, people, Armand from the Porsche dealership, I mean, he's got this amazing job. He's the GM for Porsche in Tucson, and he had a pick, and I was exhausted watching him, and people were up on ladders, and they were painting, and they were building whole frames. It was like, yeah, this was a work crew. I, of course, was in charge of bringing donuts and taking a lot of pictures and gathering, but next year I decided I really want to do a job. I really want to go there with the intention of, don't give me a hammer. You can give me a paintbrush, but I want to really put my hand in it because we've had such a success with getting people out there. And it's team building. It's team building. The benefit for the people that participate is incredible. And your team is there to help and all that. It's not people standing around waiting for what to do. But let's go back to, you don't just build houses, you know, you do build hope, you do build community, but there are other pieces and other projects that you do that donations will support. So let's talk about some
Absolutely.
Of those.
Absolutely. We do Brush with Kindness.
Love that.
Yeah. You drive down the street in your neighborhood and you see that house, the house that the Adams family lives in. You know, they're... The fence is
what
falling
a great
down.
Visual. Yeah.
The fence
yeah.
is falling down. The window frames haven't been painted in half a century. The grass is growing up. And you're like, oh, you know, when is my neighbor going to get out and fix this house? Well, they're not, because clearly something is going on in that household that is a problem. You might, you know, want your HOA to send them a letter or the city to do something. At Habitat, we have a better suggestion. Knock on the door and see what's going on. We knock on the door and we say, can we help you? Because inside that home, something's happening. Someone's had a health problem. You know, maybe there's a single mother there. There's someone elderly there that had great pride in their home at one point and is no longer able to take care of it. They've fallen on financial hard times because of a medical problem. They've lost their job. Something is happening there. People have lost pride in their home or lost the ability to take care of it. A Brush with Kindness helps bring that pride back, fixes up the yard, fixes the fence. We bring a group in for a day and, you know, all working together, we can make it better. It's really wonderful. And in a neighborhood where there are multiple houses like that, we find we do every other house, and pretty soon neighbors take a look, and the whole neighborhood starts an upcycle.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Absolutely.
There's a ripple effect, and everybody gets in the game, and it builds community. What about when you go into a neighborhood and decide that you're going to build there? Have you seen measurable results in terms of impact on the community as well, a ripple effect?
I'm so excited that you asked that. Down in Copper Vista, where we've been building and doing the Brush with Kindness and critical home repair, and it's one of the older neighborhoods here in Tucson, just today our chief operating officer brought me a multiple listing for a new neighborhood, 14 houses going in. Developers purchased the parcel about two blocks from us, and the asking price on these new homes, about $25,000 more than the houses that we purchased.
All righty then, yes.
So, and you know what? We did that. We went into a neighborhood that was on a downward cycle. It's now on an upward cycle, and life is coming back. Stores are opening, and you know, we built 66 houses, and someone's willing to take a chance and build 14 more, and we're so excited.
And the beat will go on. It's another ripple effect, not just what you see, what happens with kids and changing their lives. It's unbelievable. What about veterans? Are you doing anything with veterans? How are you helping them out? I wish I could weave them into almost every conversation I have with every show when it comes to changing lives, because I don't want them to be the forgotten ones.
They certainly aren't at Habitat. We have several veterans programs. We're building a home for a veteran family right now, and we have several veteran repair programs going on. We can retrofit for veterans who have disabilities. We're doing veteran critical home repair, emergency repairs. We've just joined several organizations that are reaching out to veterans as corporate sponsors. We're doing everything we can to work with the VA and work with organizations across Tucson to see what we can do to help our veteran community.
Yeah, because they sure deserve it, really and truly deserve it.
They deserve it, and they're the last to ask for help, so we're doing everything we can to reach out, identify them, and work with them. We're also putting them to work. We have quite a few veterans groups where they have amazing skills, and those skills that they've learned really aren't being put to work. We're bringing them out for team building and really so they know that they're really useful and wanted here in Tucson, and we're excited to have them.
And they deserve a special place. I mean, we all have to remember them, especially with what it is you do. So let's shift for a little bit. I have more questions about impact and pebble in the pond, as I call it. But what about, I'm so hoping that we can find measurable success with our campaign for intentional giving and eco-friendly and local support and on and on and on. What about the Habastore? I mean, to me, it's a treasure trove. It's fun. It's full of surprises. Is it really realistic to say, like we're telling people, go to Goodwill, go to Savers, re-gift, repurpose? Judith Simmons, who's just awesome, did a whole DIY demonstration both at the CORE and our Sustainable Living Forum about if you are into any kind of crafty, the stuff you can find there, and she is. So she made a lot of things. Talk about the Habastore as a place to actually go Christmas shopping or gifting, re-gifting.
Well, we have a DIY section where volunteers have made different gifts, and so they have the projects in stages of completion, and it shows you where in the store you can buy the parts to do that. A lot of things made with the cabinet doors from old cabinets when people remodel.
It's so in.
Oh, very
in. It's so in.
And you'll see throughout the store, our signage is all made from items that you can find right in the store, and that's really fun. There are also really great antique items. Today we saw a huge donation of wine glasses, and we were thinking there's some really beautiful glassware there. So there are different things every day. You could check our Facebook page. There are wonderful items, unique items that are posted there. Right now, several local hotels that are remodeling have put furniture, really unique
items.
You've got a stash
of Ethan Allen furniture.
And there are rugs still there. I purchased for my personal use an Ethan Allen rug this morning, that silk rug that was quite lovely. But there are exciting items for everybody on your list, from gardeners to people that entertain to the craftsperson in your life. I would highly recommend going down and taking a look. There are wonderful things.
I call it the cool place that you can shop to give things to people you love, because it is fun. There are things that you might not have thought about, and find it, and then think about the money you spend instead of going to some high-powered executive management team is going into building homes and hope and community. I mean, hello, people. It's the green trifecta.
Well, last year, you and I had our picture taken with the door that I had upcycled.
It was so much fun. And I think that was 2 years ago, but time flies when you're having fun.
Yes. But that upcycling a door was great. The door, the paint from our used paint section, I think all told, I spent about $20 on that item, and two nights in the backyard painting it. And we sold it for, I think, $250.
It was really cool. And people love to get into that. And what would you rather have? Something that you bought on a website? You know, I don't want to trash Amazon. It's so easy to do that, and I don't want to. But I want to say to people, think about it, and think about where your dollars are going to be impactful, and go to places like Habestore and Fourth Avenue and support locally owned businesses. I mean, there are so many that I could name. What about, let's talk a little bit about paying like homage to, where would you honestly be without volunteers in general? Let's talk about, like, your volunteers rock the boat.
Sure. We had 4,747 volunteers last year.
How many?
4,000.
You know that.
747 volunteers last year. They gave us over 50,000 hours. And that's an amazing amount of volunteer hours.
I'm writing it down because I don't want to forget these things when we're doing our social media. There is no way to even get my head around that. I mean, at our home build for Chapman, there were a cadre of volunteers that worked every single minute. And you said some of them are there for every home build.
Absolutely. We have volunteers that work over 2,000 hours a year. So a full-time employee is 2,080 hours.
Right, right.
So if you deduct out their sick leave and vacation time, that means we have volunteers who work more hours than the employees that we pay. And so it's just absolutely amazing what we have for volunteer hours. Our reception desk, our computers are done by volunteers. Everything is run by volunteers at Habitat, and they're so integral to what we do. It's just amazing. Now, that doesn't mean
you couldn't afford to pay for that time. I mean, what you do and how your mission is successful, to me, and there's more of a sweet spot there that I can't even put my finger on. It's like, it's community partnerships. It's good juju. I don't know if that's a really big word, but it's like, so it's really good for the person that's doing it, feeling you can see, it's measurable to see what you help build and what you put your love and sweat and tears into. But there's also volunteers at Habestore. So if you're not good with a hammer, or if you don't want to paint, there are other things that you can do at Habestore. If you want to volunteer and have a skill, you probably have a place for them.
Absolutely. We have volunteers that come in once a year on our big build days and help us fold the t-shirts, help us put the registrations in order. We have volunteers that do a variety of things. We've had we had a volunteer last year that came on a regular basis without sight, and she was just amazing in helping us do things. So we have a place for just about anyone who would like to volunteer. Our office is run by volunteers, so
there is a place for everyone. And some of your volunteers take some of the gently used and maybe a little broken furniture that gets donated, and then they redo it and it's their passion. They're in there. I know some of these people. They're in there on a regular basis, and then there's a beautiful refinished antique in many cases that you want to bring into your home. It's just not an issue. T, what about businesses? Because I think that's another thing. You know, it's such a good fit. And I keep saying Chapman because it's fun. We want to get some other of Mrs. Green's World partners into that whole community idea. But isn't it fair to say you wouldn't be in a world of hurt without the businesses that contribute money and workforce and give time off and build on Saturday? And then there's Women's Build, which I'm always excited to support. So you're very supported by the business community. Is that fair to say?
We are. We would always love more corporate donors.
Who wouldn't? Yes. Do you hear that, corporate donors listening
Absolutely.
Out there?
I want to say this, that we 65% of every dollar we raise is raised by individuals in our community.
Jeez.
And the average donation is $166. So that is huge. Foundations, corporate donors help quite a bit in Tucson and on a national level. And we're really grateful to all of them. And that goes to say we don't need... listeners don't have to give a huge amount of money. $10 buys, well, $26 buys a box of nails. And that's huge for us. We love business donors. Small businesses can come out and work with us. Large corporations. You know, there's a place for everyone in supporting us. And we do have a lot of local businesses that do a lot for us. Financially, with in-kind gifts. You know, Coffee Times brings out coffee for the big builds. We have local restaurants that provide food for us and or provide a discount for us. So we're really excited to get the support that we get from Tucson, the Tucson community. We could always use more.
Yeah, there's never, you know, it's a never-ending cycle. And, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time was one called Poverty, Inc., and I will never forget one of the lines. It's like you kind of do this, like, you know, hit yourself on the head. And this man said, let's face it. And it was all about how there are these charitable organizations that raise hundreds of billions of dollars over time, and we still have incredible poverty. And he said the only way to end poverty, I mean, it might have been a woman, I think I can remember her face now, the only way to end poverty truly is to get people out of it. That's, I want to go like, bam, that's what Habitat for Humanity does, because you end the cycle of poverty. Owning a house in this country is a cornerstone for your financial and independence and success. Let's face it, when people get their first house, you can use it for many, many things, emergencies and health reasons, and, you know, the beat goes on. And what happens with poverty, with people in poverty, you know this, and I'm singing to the choir. They have to move, they can't pay the rent, then they have to come up with next, first and last month's rent, so they live in a cheap hotel room. And then our society pays dearly for that. So to me, You know that I cannot fake my enthusiasm.
Right.
I love Habitat for Humanity because I did social services and because it ends poverty. And that's what I think we have to underscore in the message. And as CEO, just talk a little bit, and I don't think I've ever asked you this on the shows, what are some of your biggest challenges? Like if somebody said, okay, T, here's your genie bottle with three wishes, what are the things that people that are listening, that this does touch their heart, what are the things that are the biggest challenges and that you need the most? If you can hone it down, is that a fair question?
Sure, absolutely. I think that there are a few things. One is the stereotype of the people who live in a Habitat house. I think there's a real challenge to who lives there. We don't house the homeless. We house the person who drew blood, the person who files your insurance claim. These are hardworking people in low-wage jobs.
Right.
And that are serving you every day.
They can't qualify for a regular
Absolutely.
Mortgage. Right.
Consistency, we would rather have your $10 a month every month than...
Yes.
Just have people
yes.
slow and steady.
Recurring
and
revenue
things.
Is what that
Recurring
means.
Recurring revenue, absolutely. And you know, making sure that people understand that we're here to stay and that we're here to solve the issue of poverty, that it's a hand up, not a handout, and that people that are living in Habitat houses aren't somehow trying to cheat the system, and that these houses are their permanent homes.
I know, it's not a giveaway. That's what I love. They pay a mortgage.
They pay a mortgage.
And they have a lot to do with building their home. They learn about new homeowner habits like oh, I have to pay the electricity bill and the water bill, and I have to take care of the landscaping. So you do all of that through your mandatory training. And everybody, just please consider HabitatTucson.org for your giving this holiday season. And to me, I'm going to make this personal plea. This is what my giving is. I'm on a recurring with the charities that I support. So 5 or 10 or 15 or 25 to these organizations. You do that times 200 or 300, you've got a great revenue stream. HabitatTucson.org. Best of show on the 26th, the public face of seafood from Seafood Watch, and the next Down to Earth Water Policy Challenges and Solutions. A great show by Dr. Sharon Magdal. Everybody, happy holidays. Make it meaningful, make it count, and make it green. Thanks, T.